All right, turn with me, if you would, back to John 1. I ask our brother to read that for us. That is not our text this morning, but I want us to begin here in John 1. Let me ask us a question that we all need to ask. This is a question that we all need to ask, every single one of us. Do we know why Christ died? Do we know why Christ died? Why did Christ die? The Lord Jesus Christ did not begin on this earth when he was born here, like we did. He didn't begin. He did not start the day he was born on this earth. He left glory and he came here on purpose. He left glory in order to be born into the world. Now, I asked our brother to read John 1, verse 1, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word. Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's Jesus Christ, the Word. Now look back at verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." God the Son was with God the Father and God the Spirit in the beginning. These three are one God. Verse 3 says, "All things were made by him," God the Son, Jesus Christ, the one who was born 2,000 years ago. "All things were made by him," created by him. "And without him was not anything made that was made." All right, so God the Father made all, God the Son created all of this. "Without him was not anything made that was made." And in time, he came down here. He left glory, and he came down here to this world on purpose. Before he came to this world, eternity is eternity. Infinity is infinity. There's no beginning. There's no end. Wrap your mind around that. There's no beginning. When did God begin? He didn't. How long was that? And then he created this world, and he gave us record of about how long it was from the time he made man till the time he came, 4,000 years. Before he came to this world, he was holy, sinless, spotless, righteous, perfect. I mean perfect. And then he was born into this world and he grew. The God in whose hand the world is. All of the galaxies were created with his fingers. He went to the lowest part of the earth, the womb. And he was born and grew. And he was here for 33 and a half years. And the entire time that he walked this earth for 33 and a half years, he was holy. And he was sinless. And he was spotless. Now, why did Christ die on a cross? Not just God sent somebody from heaven down here with a message. God came down. The God who created the world and created the tree that made the cross. Why did God the Christ die? Why did he die? Was it an accident? Did things go wrong? Should the world be crying, bless his heart, bless his little heart? Was it an accident? There are no accidents with God. There are no accidents. If you had 4 years, we could start at the beginning and I could show you page after page after page after page how every single thing is on purpose. No accidents with God. No accidents. Christ came here on purpose. He, the whole time, was on a mission to that wooden cross. And he died on that cross on purpose. Why, though? Why? Why would he willingly give his life on a cross in Jerusalem? Why would he do that? What did it accomplish? What did that accomplish? Okay, he died. They hung him up and he died. They took him down, put him in a tomb. What did that accomplish? There is only one truthful answer to that question. We get it from this book. We don't get it from our opinion. We don't get it from the book another man wrote. It's in this book. There is one truthful answer. If the Lord gives a person faith to believe the one truthful answer, then that is the evidence that God has chosen to save that person and redeem him back to himself for all eternity. And if the Lord does not give a person faith to believe the one true answer, then that's the evidence that God is going to, and I painfully say the word, damn a person for all eternity. That's the truth. That's the truth. It's painful, but that's the truth. Now, what is the one truthful answer? I want to read it, and then I want to explain it, okay? Turn with me to our text, which is John 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The reason for Christ dying on the cross in Jerusalem begins with the love of God. That's where it begins. The love of God. Why did Christ die? The love of God. That's where the whole thing starts. It says, "For God so loved the world." How could he? How could he? But he did. God so loved the world. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean, God so loved the world? What is the truth about that statement? God so loved the world. Did God love the entire world? It doesn't say God loved the entire world, did it? Does it say, for God so loved the whole world? It doesn't say that. But is that what he means? Is that what he means? Did God love the whole world? Go with me, if you would, over to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, and look with me at verse 16. It says, these six. Now, if you have italicized words in your Bible, you'll see that the word things is in italics. And what that means is the translators added that word to make it more understandable. But the truth is these are not things, these are people. Okay, so it says, these six doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. The Lord said, I hate them. Isn't that strong language? That's strong language. Not I love them, I hate them. Isn't that something? Strong language. Look with me at Jeremiah 44. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah 44, verse 2 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. Because of their wickedness, they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. You know, do we understand what he just said there? He said, this is why I destroyed them. I hated what they were doing. They wouldn't listen, and I destroyed them. People say, God doesn't hate. Isn't that what they say? I don't know why they say that. Why do they say that? They heard somebody say it and they liked it and it sounds good. The only problem is God said, I hate. I hate it. I hate it. People say, well, you see, God hates the sin, not the sinner. You ever heard that? God hates the sin, not the sinner. Go with me to Malachi 1, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1. What he's about to say here is repeated in Romans 9. Malachi 1, verse 1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." And I'm going to just tell you, it's a burden. Okay, Malachi was a man that God raised up to tell the truth, to preach his word as he wrote it. And it's a weighty burden. And I'm just going to tell you why. Whether men and women understand the truth or not, it doesn't change God's truth. Whether men and women know what they're going into when they go meet God, it doesn't change what they're going into. And the truth that God gives to a sinner, if he reveals that truth to him, he's going to show mercy to bow to this Almighty God. And it's a burden to tell people, be warned. Be warned. People think, oh yeah, God is love and God is good and God is all those things. But that's not all that he is. He said, know me. He told Isaiah, you go tell him, behold your God. Right? All flesh is grass. To whom will you liken me? And it is a true burden, this burden of truth. Verse 1 says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom, and that's Esau's descendants, that's his heritage, his family tree. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Indignation means to abhor, to curse, to foam at the mouth against, to be enraged by, to hate. That's scary. That's scary. So what is the one truthful answer concerning God's love toward sinners in the world? What's the one truthful answer? Look with me, if you would, at John 17. John 17, verse 9, he said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. In verse 6, he said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world, out of this entire Gentile world, not just Israel. God kept saying Israel was a picture of those people he chose. He said, I've chosen Israel to be my people, right? But he now tells us through the gospel of his word, I'm going to show mercy to the entire Gentile world. That's the good news for us. You know, the gospel is good news. That's the definition of the gospel. We're here to hear some good news. Do you know if he did not say, I'm going to show mercy to the entire world, we couldn't be here. We couldn't have any hope. We couldn't rejoice. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. Anybody who's not a Jew is a Gentile. And I could have no hope. But he said, I'm going to love the world. I'm going to love the heathens of the world. Ephesians 2, don't turn over there. It says, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where I was. It says, but God did something. God came down. The God-man came down. Christ Jesus. He came down to this earth on purpose. He died on a cross in Jerusalem on purpose. He did it on purpose. He did that because God, His Father, chose some sinners. He chose them out of this world. The scripture says they were scattered abroad. Did He choose just a couple? It says it's a number no man can number. Isn't that wonderful? But He chose who they would be. He chose them on purpose. The scripture says, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation of this world. He chose them on purpose. He saved them on purpose. Let me tell you something, though. That still does not answer the question, why did Christ die? That still does not answer our question, not fully. Why did Christ die? Why did He have to die? That's the question we're trying to get to. Why did He have to die? Why didn't God just save the ones He wanted to save? Why didn't He just reach down, pick them up, and put them in heaven? Why didn't He do that? The answer is, it's because He is a just God. That's the reason. He is a just God. We must know the truth about this. He is a just God. Turn with me, if you would, over to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, look with me at verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Let me tell you something. That's none of us. That's none of us. We could try to fool ourselves all we want to. We could sit here and try to pump each other up and you're a good person, I'm a good person, he's a good person, everybody's good. You're fine, go on. But I'm going to tell you the truth. That's not me. I don't have clean hands and a pure heart. I'm a sinner. I sin in the mind, I sin in the heart, I sin with the hands. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I've said this before. This house is not Sinners Anonymous. This is Sinners Tell Everybody. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. None of us are without sin. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say we have no sin, we're making God a liar. And here's the reason. He said, all have sinned. And people come to church and, you know, they want to be saved and they want to, now you just tell me I'm okay and I'll walk out of here happy. Oh yeah, now you hadn't sinned, have you? Nope, haven't sinned. Okay, you're good. All have sinned. And the reason we all have sinned is because we are sin. We don't sin, in turn, making us a sinner. We sin because we are a sinner. Dogs don't meow. And we're not, when a dog is born, we're not waiting on him to bark just to see if he's a dog. We don't know what he is yet. But if he barks, then he's a dog. No, he's a dog. He's going to bark. And I'm going to sin because I'm a sinner. And if we say we have not sinned, we're making our holy, righteous, just God a liar. None of us can stand in his presence. We're not ready to go meet God. People say, well, he's right with God. I'm not. Not in myself. And you're not. Be warned. Be warned. Go into your mind. I say that all the time, don't I? Just go into your mind. You don't even have to go to your heart. Just go to your mind. Oh, the wickedness, the hate, the lust, the covetousness, the pride. God is holy. God is just. God is only right. He can and will only do what is right and lawful. He's that judge that no sinner wants to go stand before. He's going to give the just punishment. He will by no means clear the guilty. Isn't that what it says? He will by no means clear the guilty. In this flesh, I'm guilty. The only way that a person can enter into heaven is if he is not guilty. I'm going to repeat that. The only way a person can enter into heaven is if he is not guilty. And that's not us. That's not us. We're guilty. We have broken God's law. And what's done is done. If I committed murder 4 years ago, and they catch me today, I can't say, well, yeah, but that was 4 years ago. What's done is done. Right? We cannot undo it. There is no forgiveness in saying, I'm sorry. He's a just God. He's a just God. There is no forgiveness in saying, I'm sorry. There's no forgiveness in trying to outdo the wrongs with right. I made a list of all the bad things I did, and I'm going to keep writing until I double that list. It won't do any good. Sin cannot be undone. The only thing it can be is punished. If I've ever told the truth, I'm telling it right now. The only thing it can be is punished. Therefore, because God so loved the souls that he chose out of this world, the sinful souls that broke his law and rebelled against him, because he so loved the souls he chose out of this world, he gave his only begotten Son. You want to talk about love? People say, God is love. You don't have any idea. God gave his only begotten Son. Gave him to what? What did God give him to? The sin of man. God gave him over to the sin of man. Christ could not produce his own sin. He was spotless. He was perfect. He was holy. There was no sin in him. He could not sin. But God laid on him and pressed into him the sin that he took out of and off of those people he loved, those people he chose out of every tribe, nation, kindred, tongue, generation. And when God the Father took those sins off of his people and pressed them into Jesus Christ, every single one of those people became sinless. When he took them out, when he took them off. They were still there. There's the sin. And he pressed it into his only begotten Son. And at that moment, every single soul he did that for became sinless, perfect, holy. By this transaction of the Father, his people were made to be what Christ was. And the sinless one, Christ, made himself to be what they were. He made himself to be their sin. Christ did not die on a cross in Jerusalem as a martyr for his cause. I believe in this so much, I'm going to take it all the way to the grave. That's not what he did. Christ did not die on the cross to be an example for his people to follow. Christ died on the cross because he made himself to be guilty before God. When God looked at him, he said, "You're guilty. You have all that sin on you." Christ died on the cross because he had to die. He had to die. God's own justice demanded it. That has to be punished. Christ died on the cross being the substitute for his people. He died to set them free. I mean set them free. And they had to go free. His own justice demanded it. No sin. You're free to go. Well done, thou good and faithful servants. To death with you. We started this by asking the question, what did it accomplish? What did it accomplish? The answer is absolute deliverance. For his people. Absolute deliverance for his people. Now go with me back to John 3. John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The question is asked in the scripture. The question is still asked in the hearts of men and women today. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? The answer that he himself gives is believe on him. Believe on him. This is what he said he did. This is what he said God is. This is what he said I am. This is what he said Christ accomplished. Believe on him. Believe on him. What does it mean to believe on him truly? Believe what? Believe everything he said concerning salvation. Everything. Believe the one true answer that he himself has given. Now, what has he said concerning salvation? What did he say about the salvation of his people? This is what he said. It is finished. It's finished. Every soul that his Father chose is safe and secure. Absolutely safe and secure. Rest in the person. Rest in the person. Rest in what he did. Rest in having a substitute. Just rest right there. Rest in the fact that through God sending his own Son and laying our sins on him and shedding his blood on that cross, in justice, in judgment, rest in the fact that God is satisfied. You know, the scripture says he's angry with the wicked every day. Christ made himself to be that for us, and God was angry with him. And because he took that, we're not wicked. Not in Christ. He's not angry with his people. Not at all. God is love. God loves his people. For God so loved the world. You rest in the fact that Christ has made you free. You rest in that. If God gives us the ability to do that, some will hear, and this is what the scripture keeps saying, some heard and believed, some heard and didn't believe. If God does not give us a heart to say, I believe that's exactly what God's word is saying, then may God reveal it to us. If we see that, if God gives us the ability to look at this and see Christ paid it all, there's nothing left for me to do. Just trust Him. Put all my hope in Him. If God gives us that ability, then that is the evidence that He chose us. He didn't choose everybody, did He? But if He gives us that faith, that's that evidence that He chose us. And He says, in Him, if God chose us to be in Christ, we're not going to perish. We're going to have everlasting life. Now, let me just ask the question one more time here in closing. Do we know why Christ died? Do we know why Christ died? Was it an accident? Did He fail? What did it accomplish? What did it truly accomplish? Verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The true gospel is not an invitation. I would not like to invite anybody to be saved. The true gospel is not an invitation. I would not like to invite anybody to come down to the front or do anything. The true gospel is a declaration. The true gospel is a notification. God accomplished it, and then He said, now you go tell my people. God the Father chose them. Scripture says before the foundation of the world. God the Son died for them. And God the Spirit comes and He says, let's notify Him of what is finished, of what's already done. It's a notification. Now, in response, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what He's done, and thou shalt be saved. All right, let's all stand together.